From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, July 18th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gwyneth Cheesh, Hawa, Toyosik Newsom, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, Scott McMurrin from Alaska Travelgram with tips and deals for summer travel and beyond. The Cake Dog Salmon Festival is coming August 3rd, and we'll learn about a special day trip that Junoites can make to get to the festival. Green crabs are a new invasive species which threaten Alaska's coastal areas. We'll learn more about them and what to look out for and how to report them if you see them. And we'll have a sneak peek at next week's annual climate fair for a cool planet from 350 Juno and Theater Alaska, featuring some special guests, including Quinn Christofferson. Those conversations and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hanson Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na khaya ha an ka gun chish.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Do you have questions about KTOO's news coverage or ideas for stories? Stop by our office hours at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. Meet local news reporters Anna Canny and Yvonne Crumry and share your perspective as a listener. That's Thursday, that's tonight, starting at 6 p.m. at the Valley Library. And a quick programming note, Juno Afternoon will be on summer hiatus starting next week. We will return with programs on Wednesday, August 14th. If you have an event or topic or would like to be a guest on the show, please email junoafternoon@ktoo.org, and we will begin responding to those requests on Monday, August 12th. Gwyneth Cheesh, and thank you for your continued support of Juno Afternoon. Listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Alaska Travelgram is a website and newsletter that has over 20,000 followers. The brainchild behind it is Scott McMurrin, known as Alaska's travel authority. Scott's been sending out travel deals and tips to folks since 1999. He's got the inside scoop on all things travel and is here now in the studio to share some of it with us. Gwyneth Cheesh, Ha'i Gudi, thank you so much, Scott, for coming in and sharing these details. It's a pleasure to have you here. Wasi'iti, how's it going?
Oh, good. It's going great. And I really, really appreciate you rolling out the sunshine today.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's been raining and raining and raining these last few days, so it's really nice to have this weather. So let's start at the beginning. What inspired you to start this work back in 1999?
Well, it went back a little bit further than that because I've been writing a weekly travel column in the Anchorage Daily News for 42 years.
Oh, wow.
And so it got to the point where a lot of this travel news couldn't wait for Sunday's paper. And so I'm thinking, well, how am I going to get this out to people and, you know, let them know what's going on? And one of my younger friends suggested something called the internet. And I said, what? What's that? Computers? No, I know the DOS cards. I know all that stuff.
Right.
No, thanks. Fast forward, I started sending it out by email. And so I just sent it out once a week. I put together some steals and deals, and that's the crux of it, Boston. Really?
Wow, that's really cool. Okay, so this is a little maybe advanced, but I'm just curious, in all those years, I guess 42 years, just for funsies, what's the best deal that you had ever heard of?
Ooh, that's you know, that's a tough one because some of the airlines don't exist anymore.
Oh, right.
You know,
right. I mean, but just even if you remember one that was like, somebody was like $49,
$39? Mark Air, 5 tickets anywhere they fly in exchange for your PFD.
Okay. Yeah. The PFD deals. Yeah. Those were the days, right?
Yeah.
Does Alaska still do the PFD
deal? Yeah, they do. Yeah. They'll come out with something in October, right around the time that the checks are distributed. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. And that's always a good thing for Juno travelers too. You should always pay attention to those.
That's what I was going to say is because Juno, you know, folks, we're always forced to travel with normally only one major airline at our disposal. I mean, I know in the last several years that's changed. There's been a little bit more competition. Does that help when people are looking for deals?
Dude, you should get down on your knees and pray that you get to continue to have a competitive air environment right now, at least through November.
Right.
Because okay, that November has kept the prices down. For example, to Seattle, you can fly on Delta starting September 9 through November 6 for $101 one way.
Oh, wow.
Now, and that's nonstop. You don't have to go through Sitka or Ketchikan or both. But I got to tell you, that price gets you the middle seat back by the potty. Okay. So that gets you into the game. That's like your ante.
There's an exchange when you're going for cheaper, you might have to sit in a different location.
Cheap is rarely convenient.
Right.
Okay. Both Alaska and Delta play that game. But anyway, $101 one way to Seattle is a great deal.
Yeah. I was going to ask you because I know you'd mentioned that to me in the pre stuff. And I was like, wait, I just booked a trip to Seattle in August and it was not, you know, $100. But that's because this is not starting until September.
September 9.
Okay. Yeah. September 9. And if you want to go down to Seattle, maybe see a show or do some shopping or do whatever you might want to do down there, that's the best time to maybe look into going is after that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's a really good thing. And now keep in mind, Delta keeps that in there because I think the cruise season is going later.
Right.
Well into late October. And of course, that contributes to their traffic.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, speaking of airline travel, you must have some tips or tricks on how to best use our frequent flyer miles. What are some of those strategies that we want to employ?
Sure. Well, I gotta remind you too, the real three magic words of miles and points in the 21st century are earn and burn.
Earn and burn.
Because your frequent flyer miles now are worth more today than they will be tomorrow. So they depreciate quickly.
Okay.
So, you know, if you look at your garden variety Alaska Airlines Visa card, you can get anywhere from 65,000 to 70,000 points just by signing up. And getting the credit card and making the minimum spend of $3,000 within the first 60 or 90 days.
Yeah.
Okay. So that gets you, that's a substantial amount of miles.
Yeah, that is.
Okay. That'll get you back and forth to Seattle, maybe not on the prime flights, but it'll get you back probably twice.
Right.
You know, you could come up and see me in Anchorage, for example. Plan 21 days in advance and you can get a one-way ticket on Alaska Airlines for 5,000 miles.
Okay. Wow.
So in-state redemption of Alaska miles is one of the best redemptions that you can get.
Yeah.
You know, so those are a couple of them. And then another ecosystem that I subscribe to is the Chase family of cards, where you can move the points around to 14 different frequent flyer or loyalty plans. And part of that calculus is, I mean, I signed up for one card and got 100,000 points. I signed up for another card and got 60,000 points. And so I was able to stack those because they were both from Chase. So I had 160,000 points. And I used those not necessarily for airline tickets, although I have, and you can even use them for Alaska Airlines tickets. But I use them primarily for hotels. Mm. I stay at some really nice hotels because they've got a really good redemption rate at this point with Hyatt hotels. They also trade with Bonvoy and IHG, which is Holiday Inn, stuff like that. But that stuff Boston, it's a moving target. So we keep track of that in the Alaska Travelgram.
Now, I heard a story from a friend of mine who was on a flight recently, and they told him that he should cancel his Alaska credit card and re-sign up for another credit card to be able to get the 60,000 miles or whatever. And that seemed a little outside the box thinking. Is that something that people are doing?
Yeah. You can do that.
I mean, I've heard, but you know, I don't know. I mean, we're not here to give you like credit advice because right. That is not what we do. But like, that seems to be something that could hurt your credit to cancel and reopen and cancel and reopen. And I guess if you're chasing these points or miles, then, you know, I don't know. I know that I get a bonus for, you know, using some services with my Alaska Airlines card. I will get triple points by, you know, paying for a certain service like my phone service or something like that. I'll get some extra miles that just earn automatically every month, which is kind of cool. Is there other little places or things like that that people should know about?
Two things. First of all, the thing that really hurts your credit is if you don't pay off your credit card.
Right.
Okay. Right. All these other things, whether you cancel or redo a credit card, may impact it somewhat. If you're going to buy a house, if you're looking to buy a house, mm-hmm. you might want to, you know, delay your credit card bingo game. Mm. Okay. Because a lot of activity on that may have an impact. But the big thing is to pay off your card at the end of the month.
Right.
That,
right.
Because you can't win if you're paying interest on.
The miles aren't worth it then.
No,
really.
They're not.
Yeah.
They're not. The other thing I want to share with my listeners, with your listeners rather, is there's a
program. They're your listeners too, Scott.
Yes, it's a program called Bilt Rewards, B-I-L-T. And it's a program that Alaska Airlines is cooperating with where you can pay your rent and earn miles.
Whoa.
And then transfer those miles to your Alaska Airlines mileage account. BiltRewards.com.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have an affiliate deal with them or any of that. It's just a really good program for people who pay rent.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it could be $1,000, $2,000, $2,500. So that's 2,500 points a month.
Wow. That's a lot of points.
And it's a good program that just came out within the last year.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. In the little bit of time we have left, I'm just curious if there is something beyond airline miles, other kinds of travel tips that you might have for folks that we should be knowing about.
Well, you know, the airline thing is a rabbit hole. I kind of get stuck on that. So I got to share. You can fly from Juneau to L.A., for $149 one way, that's a great deal on either Delta or Alaska between that magic date of September 9 and the end of October.
Okay.
So you know, the other things are, you know, don't be afraid to buy a little humanity, whether it's premium class or something like that. I always travel with my noise-canceling headphones.
Sure.
Because it's noisy and you know, you can plug them into your iPhone and turn up the volume on the music and just be nice to people because airlines sell entitlement by the pound, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, first class, premium class, you know, economy minus, steerage. And so they cram a lot of people in there. And so I'm counting on you. Your fellow travelers are counting on you to chill. Okay. Get there early.
Yeah.
And be patient and be kind. That's the best, honestly, the best thing that I can tell people to do. It'll make them, they'll be happier and the people around you will be happier.
I love that.
You know? And
I think probably, you know, I don't think used to be, I remember back in the day, I don't know, it was 10, 15 years ago, a friend of mine was like, you got to subscribe to this newsletter. It's this guy named Scott, and he sends out all the deals. It's the best secret in Alaska. And so that's probably the best thing people can do is probably subscribe to your newsletter. You still send it out once a week, right?
Yeah.
And you can also go to the website, Alaska Travelgram. That's where you would sign up for the newsletter.
Yeah.
AlaskaTravelgram.com. And Scott, you got all the inside information. I'm sure people come to you with all the things that they hear about and you get all the tips.
And it was great to visit with some of my Juneau readers here. I had a couple of travel pop-ups, one at the Heritage right over here, another one last night at Forbidden Peak.
I love that. That's so good.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, enjoy the rest of your time in Juneau. It's always great. And we always need to know about these, especially these airline deals, because, you know, as Juneauites, we are sort of, you know, that's the one way we can get out unless we're going on the Alaska Marine Highway. Any deals on the Alaska Marine Highway?
I just pray that they will keep running.
That's what we want for sure. Well, good to the cheese for coming in today, Scott. Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. Okay. Up next, Cake's Dog Salmon Festival is just a couple weeks away. We'll find out more and how those in Juneau can make their way there in an extra special trip. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Here's a little savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. We all know that wild salmon roam free. Born in lakes, rivers, and streams all across Alaska, they're destined for life in the open ocean. Depending on the species, salmon spend between months and years in bubbling, oxygen-rich freshwater, and then the call to a new life sounds. A deepening hunger drives salmon to estuaries, where they encounter their anointed first taste of salt water. Slipping through a forest of seagrass, wild salmon hunt small, shellless crustaceans burrowed in estuary sediments. These crustaceans contain the coral-hued pigments called carotenoids that give salmon their lush color. Finally, wild salmon enter the ocean. Now the roaming free really begins. Traveling 1,000 miles or more in a lifetime at sea, salmon flex strong muscles and use a broad caudal fin for propulsion as they pursue new prey, krill, squid, zooplankton, and small fish like herring. You can imagine how good salmon must feel. Plenty of exercise, delicious, high-quality food, and unlimited time in nature. Not only that, they have a life purpose, to get back home and produce a new generation. If you've ever seen salmon leaping from the water on their voyage, it's easy to imagine you're witnessing a jump for joy. And maybe you are. Research shows that salmon raised in tanks behave differently from their wild counterparts. They are, in fact, depressed, exhibiting high levels of the stress hormone cortisol, overactive serotonin systems, and stunted growth. All the more reason to support, celebrate, and enjoy Alaska's wild, free-roaming, happy salmon. Browse a variety of wild salmon recipes at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
You are listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinak John Martin. And the word this week is k'uk.
K'uk.
That means coho or silver salmon. And here's a sentence.
Yachdadachea k'ukudziti.
It was from Yekutat that the coho were born. Let's hear it again.
K'uk.
Coho or silver salmon. Ganesh Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinuk John Martin was Dakdain Tan and a child of a Kagwantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. On August 3rd in Cake, Alaska, it's the 30th annual Dog Salmon Festival put on by the Cake Tribal Heritage Foundation. It's a day of celebration, including all kinds of events and music and arts and all kinds of good stuff. And for those in Juneau who would like to make their way down there on August 3rd for the day, I've got the people with me now to tell you how, which is so awesome. So joining me in the studio is artist and entrepreneur Chloe Kavanaugh, Gunith Cheesh. And via Zoom from Cake is Kelly Jackson, who is the secretary treasurer of the Cake Tribal Heritage Foundation, as well as Kendall Jackson. Gunith Cheesh, Haye Adi, thank you so much for you all being here. It's a pleasure to have you via Zoom or in the studio. Wasaiti, how's it going?
Just pretty great. We're doing just pretty great here.
Awesome.
The weather's let up and, you know, we're just excited for this time coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the weather let up here, thank goodness too, Chloe, right? We've had rain for days.
I know. It's a nice break in the weather.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So first of all, what is the Dog Salmon Festival for those who may not know?
So the first ever Dog Salmon Festival was a celebration. They had met their quota early on in the season, and they wanted to celebrate with their workers and their fishermen and their boats just to say, hey, thanks, guys. So, you know, they started with like a barbecue, basically, and
coffee time
and races. And it's just evolved into this great event that we love to have our chums near and far come and attend.
I love that. And it has sort of grown over the years, right? I mean, it sounds like the beginning. I love that. It was sort of like meeting that quota and then having a barbecue, a celebration, really. Yeah. And then it's grown into a little bit more. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. We, you know, it honors those that have, you know, people that have passed on. This one this year is going to be honoring all the shareholders who have passed in the last 30 years. And so this is an extra special one coming up. And, you know, we're just looking forward to being able to spend it with all of our cohorts. And it's just really evolved, and all the races, and there's all kinds of contests, like hot dog eating contest. my son participated last year. He hasn't eaten a hot dog since.
I bet. I've seen those people who can eat like 60 hot dogs in a minute or whatever, and I can't even imagine that in the end. Kelly, will you tell us a little bit about Cake Tribal Heritage Foundation?
Yeah, so it's our nonprofit organization here in Cake. We're a pretty small nonprofit. Really, the only thing that's funneling through us is a food security team. And we have a couple grants that employ a lot of summer interns. And so this year is extra special because all of those interns have been fishing throughout the season. And they're going to be providing a king salmon dinner to everybody this year at 5 p.m. at the end of Dog Salmon Festival. And a little bit of other things that we do is we provide medical emergency funds for our shareholders, our descendants, and community members as well. We're really just trying to expand on everything that we can do. We recently just got our first rounds of grants in the past 3 years. So as we continue to grow, food security has kind of been our biggest thing, and it kind of coincides with Dog Salmon Festival and all that we offer.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool. And so, Chloe, you're here in the studio with me. How did you get involved with the festival?
So Cake is my grandfather's home community, Archie Kavanaugh. And Kelly and I actually met at a cabin in Cake and just kind of celebrating with friends and getting to meet each other, and invited me to kind of participate in helping with the planning. And it's something that has felt really special to me to be a part of the community and to be given the opportunity to contribute to Dog Salmon Fest. So we've all just been kind of working in community together. And there's some really fun travel opportunities too for getting to Cake. I feel like all the time when I bring up Cake, there's either the people that have been and they're like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful and so special. And then there's the people who haven't been. And I feel like that's a common theme in Southeast of we're so close yet so far. And this is a really special opportunity to foster those relationships and experience a community that's not too far away, but is an opportunity to foster those relationships with each other.
Yeah. So this is really cool for those who are here in Juneau who may want to go down for the day and be part of this festival. It's the 30th annual Dog Salmon Festival and Cake. So what is this cool opportunity?
So there will be a catamaran that's leaving Auk Bay Harbor August 3rd at 6 a.m. And then it will be coming back from Cake at 5:30 p.m. It's a $200 round trip. It's a really great opportunity to hop on the catamaran, get time together and have a unique experience and go experience Cake and see all the beauty it has to offer and then get home. Those day trips end up being really, really cool to just experience a community and then come back. And then Alaska Seaplanes is also offering a 10% off discount with the code CAKE24. For people looking to book the catamaran, you just contact Nicole Wooten at 907-785-3221, extension 309. And if you're looking to drop off a check, you can drop it off at my studio, Black and White Raven Company. You can look up my website and I'll have the address listed there, or find me on Instagram and I will have my hours and drop off location there.
That is so cool. Now, how many people can fit on the catamaran?
Kelly, you want to speak to that?
Kelly, do we know how many people can fit?
Yeah, it's going to be a max of 117, and that includes infants as well. So if you have an infant, just inform us, but 117 is the max that we can do.
I see. Okay. So it's a special opportunity. You'll be traveling with not a small group, but not a huge group mm-hmm. either. So it's a really good time to sort of connect, especially at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Bring your coffee and your best jokes and personality.
Yeah, for sure. And what's so cool about this is that it's not an overnight, right? That you can actually get there. I mean, yes, you have to get up pretty early because it leaves at 6 a.m. So that means you probably got to be out there by like 5:30 or so. But the fact that you're able to then come back in the same day and have that experience, like that's very, very special, it seems like, especially for this sort of anniversary, 30th anniversary, And it sounds like, and what Kendall was saying is they're going to be honoring those that we've lost over those 30 years. And especially if, you know, I mean, a lot of people like yourself probably have family and or grew up in Cake and have moved to Juneau for whatever reason. And so to reconnect and go back and be part of that and, you know, celebrate is so cool. It's really, really awesome. And now Chloe was telling me before we got on the air that this is going to that the festival is going to change a little bit in the future. Kendall, can you tell us a little bit about what's going to be changing, which also might make the reason to go this year even that much more special, right?
Yeah, definitely. This will be the last ever Dog Salmon Festival as the brand. It will be turning into a Cake Tribal Heritage event after this year, rather than a Dog Salmon Festival that we've all come to know and love.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. So Kelly has a little more on that if she.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we're planning on doing after this event is we want to connect with our youth and could do a call out for a new name to rebrand this event. Fishing has definitely died down in the community. Our cold storage is no longer open. It's been closed for over a decade now. And so we just see, it just sees fit in a perfect time as we're revitalizing our culture to rebrand our festival and bring everybody together in traditional ways.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds really special. It's such a cool thing. And I want to give out this phone number again that you gave out, Chloe, because if people want to go from Juneau to Cake for the day, you want to call Nicole Wooten at 907-785-3221. Is that the same number you gave?
Yes. And it's going to be extension number 309.
309 to connect with Nicole. And or you can find Chloe at her shop or on her website, and you can make those arrangements. arrangements to pay the $200. There's only room for 117 people. And it is babies or children included in that, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of that number, probably just in terms of the amount of people that can fit on the boat and or on the catamaran and all that kind of stuff. And I also saw a note here that is it still that Lisa Murkowski will be attending the festival?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. I mean,
she'll be flying for the day.
She's going to fly in for the day. Yeah, that's so cool. Well, Gwyneth Cheese, for coming on and telling us about it. It sounds like you all are going to have a fantastic celebration this year. And hopefully this weather that we're having now, right? Hopefully that stays around for a little bit longer. And that catamaran ride would sounds really lovely for a lot of those lucky 117 Juno folks. So I really appreciate y'all coming on the Zoom from Cake there. I see people dancing and coming along in the background and doing things in the background, making things happen. I love it. And Chloe, thanks for coming into the studio.
Gunashish, yeah. I appreciate you.
Yeah, please. Thank you so much. And please come back again anytime. Let us know anything that's happening in Cake. We'd love to share that with the listeners here in Juneau.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Gunashish.
Can I add something briefly?
Oh, yes, please.
If there was anyone that wanted the option to stay the night, we actually have spots at the bunkhouse for $25 a bed or $40 per room. So that's another option if people wanted to fly in for a night or two and spend some time with family.
And what's the best way for folks to reach out about that?
They could call Cake Tribal Corporation at the same number given. The 785-3221.
Okay. That's great. Thank you for that. That's an extra travel tip. I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, break a leg with a celebration. Gwyneth Cheese. Okay, up next, tomorrow is Green Crab Awareness Day. The green crab is a new invasive species causing potential harm to Alaska's coastal areas. We'll hear from the experts next on what to look out for and how to report it when you do see something. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. But first, a little sounds wild.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
On a February afternoon, three wildlife biologists on the Juneau waterfront near the Douglas Bridge are watching a pair of harbor porpoises. The water flows like a river in the ebbing tide, and the porpoises' gray backs break the surface without splashing. One biologist pilots a drone about 250 feet over the water, getting footage of the animals. Their timing is excellent. These researchers are launching a three-year region-wide survey of harbor porpoises in Southeast Alaska, and they're practicing their pilot and porpoise spotting skills. Harbor porpoises are common in Southeast Alaska's inside waters, a network of glacial fjords, inlets, and densely forested islands, but relatively little is known about these animals. Potential threats are raising concerns, and an accurate estimate of their numbers is important. Biologists need to better understand how the porpoises in Southeast Alaska waters are related. Porpoises in different parts of Southeast are genetically distinct and don't seem to interbreed, migrate, or move across the region. How they are defined as separate stocks or populations will affect how they are protected and managed. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clenidé have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Tomorrow, July 19th, is European Green Crab Awareness Day. What is a green crab and why do we need to be aware? Well, I've got the experts here with me now to help us learn all about it. From Alaska Sea Grant, I have Director Ginny Eckert, who joins me in the studio. And also then on Zoom, I've got Nicole Reynolds from Ocean Earth Environmental and Ian Hudson, who is the fisheries biologist and green crab coordinator at Metlakatla Indian Community. Gunath Cheesh, Haye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here. Wasaiti, how's it going?
It's going good. Thanks, Boston.
Good. Getting ready for this day tomorrow. So, well, let's get right into it. Ian, as the coordinator of this species, what exactly is a green crab?
So the green crab is a invasive top 100 species in the world, and it has made its way into the Alaskan waters. It's kind of a small crab compared to like a Dungeness, say. However, it's been kind of a ferocious species. It landed on the West Coast in 1989 in San Francisco and has been slowly spreading up the coastline since then. It has a very distinct 5-3-5 pattern on the top of its carapace. So basically the top of the shell has five distinct spines on either side of its head, I guess, if you want to explain it in a less scientific way. But
yes, please.
They
came up from through coastal currents. And they were first discovered in Alaska on Annette Island through the Metlakatla Indian Community's early monitoring program, which started in 2020. And since then, we've been doing a lot of trapping and molt walks like Ginny has been doing to increase our early detection ability.
I see. Okay. And so Ginny, Alaska Sea Grant is involved in this and you've been doing these molt walks. Is that what?
Yeah, that's what Nicole mentioned.
Yeah.
So, you know, Alaska Sea Grant is involved in doing education and outreach. So we're involved on that side. We have a new fellow who will be joining us to do more education and outreach in the future. Nicole was mentioning an effort. I worked with some high school students in Metlakatla, and we went and walked beaches sort of in nearby areas to where green crab had been seen to see if we could find areas where they might have expanded. And this summer, we did find that they had expanded from Annette Island, which is sort of exciting, sort of not exciting, right?
Right.
But the students were thrilled. You know, you set a high school student on a mission to find something, and they're quite good at it when you set them to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, as you mentioned, Ian, the description, and I know there's some pictures that are on the website that Alaska Sea Grant dedicates to this that I might be able to ask permission to repost on our webpage for this episode so that people will be able to see what these crab look like. And so, and right now, and I don't know who wants to answer this question, but I'm thinking as they're sort of moving out into more areas. So what are we looking for? Are they on sort of the shore areas, or are they, you know, where are we looking for these little green crabs?
What we've kind of discovered is that I wouldn't say per se that they're coming from Annette Island. The current systems and the mapping that you can look at online show that the currents move through big water and are landing in south facing inlets. And so with Ginny and the team here, we've been focusing on any inlet that is facing southward and might be susceptible to trapping those larval green crab.
I see. Okay. And who is most likely of folks who aren't in your areas of expertise, who's most likely to be seeing these? Is it people who are out fishing? Is it people just taking a stroll?
Probably people who are just walking on the beach, having a beach day, probably around like the rack line, low tide areas, anywhere where like little things kind of wash up on the shoreline.
I see. Okay. So that's helpful. And so that one thing people can do is, if that's your way of living and you're doing that, is to actually look at the difference between what the green crab is versus maybe a different kind of crab. So you don't just go, oh, look, there's a crab. You can actually see that it might be a green crab. And that makes sense. Now, Nicole, as part of your work with Ocean Earth Environmental, this is why I'm directing this question at you. Why are these so detrimental to the environment, I guess?
Yeah, so green crab are very aggressive crabs compared to any of the native crabs that we have. They're known to kill Dungeness crab the same size that they are and smaller. They can also eat juvenile salmon. They can eat up to 20 half-inch clams in a day. They also like to pick, and they kind of bury themselves, which can destroy eelgrass habitat and pose a threat to the salmon. So they're kind of just all around really damaging, especially for local Alaskan communities, especially those who rely on subsistence, which is why we're so worried about green crab and Metlakatla.
I see. Okay. So yeah, they're really, what they're doing is they're this invasive species and they're basically destroying other wildlife. Is that right? Ginny, is that kind of what's happening?
Yeah, totally. They're a risk to different habitats and different resources. So things that we like to eat, clams and crabs and fish, they rely on some of those habitats and they get eaten by these crabs that, you know, are invasive. So they don't have any natural predators here in our system quite yet.
I see. And are they growing in number right now, or are we seeing, you know, are they just sort of exponentially growing and this is just going to be continue to be a problem?
Our first live one was trapped in July of 2022. And since the first one to date, we've trapped 2,924 crabs, live crabs. And then this year, since March, we've captured 176.
Oh,
so,
wow.
The ones that we found off island in Boswick certainly have been there for at least a year or two. So they've been there maybe as long as they have been on that island.
Wow. That's a lot. So, okay. So we've sort of figured out how to identify them and why they're so troublesome. And then, so what happens, what should we do, Ginny, when we do identify them and see something?
Yeah. So something to look for is, like, finding the live crabs actually is kind of hard, but crabs molt when they grow. So they shed their exoskeleton. And so you can find like what might look like a little crab, but there's no crab inside because that's just the skeleton of the crab. Mm. Those wash up on the beaches. So you can walk sort of the upper tide line where there might be other algae and other seaweeds that accumulate and look in there for shells. You can, you know, that 5-3-5 pattern is unique in identifying. So the color is not necessarily conclusive. They can be a variety of colors. Even though they're called green crab, they can be yellow or brown or a little bit red, depending on, you know, if the shell's been around for a while. But they definitely have those, like, 5 spines on one side, 3 in the middle, 5 on the other side. Mm-hmm. And if you think you find one, you can call Fish and Game. They have a hotline to report invasive species, and that number is 1-877-INVASIVE, INVASIV. And you can email photos to tammy.davis@alaska.gov.
And that information is all on the website that you have for it, specifically alaskaseagrant.org. And there's a little section called Our Work. And under that, there's a tab for green crab. And on that page, there's pictures and there's this phone number and this email for Tammy that you can help to report this. And as Ian said, these are sort of found on south facing beaches at the moment, in terms of how they wash up. And as Ginny's saying, they seem to be, you might, as a lay person out there in the world, you might see sort of a molt of it, right? Mm-hmm. So, and they exactly. May not be green. So this is all good news. Now, just one last question for you, Ginny. So tomorrow is Green Crab Awareness Day. Why did we create an awareness day? And is there anything happening on the awareness day that we need to know about?
So we're definitely encouraging people to take a stroll on their beaches tomorrow for Awareness Day. You know, if you're going to walk your dog or just go out yourself on the beach, just take a look for them. And, you know, the more we can talk about this, the more we can spread this information, the more we can figure out where they are. For like we said, you know, we found them in a new place this year, but they probably had been there for a little while. So anywhere you are in Southeast Alaska, I think it's worth recording and noting, like, hey, I looked, but they weren't there. And then, you know, we'll be able to then track their growth and maybe do something about it when we do find them.
I really appreciate that. And I appreciate you all coming on and talking about this. And I'd never heard of it before. And when I saw the information about it, I was like, we got to get the word out. Again, if you do see something, you want to call 877-INVASIVE. And just to remind everybody that on your mobile phone, it still has the letters underneath the number, so you can figure out how to dial that number. But it's INVASIVE, INVASIV, and you can go to alaskaseagrant.org and you can find out more information about it under the Our Work tab and the Green Crab page. So Ginny, Nicole, Ian, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheese, for coming on and telling us about this, and we're raising awareness about this invasive species. Get out of here.
Thanks, Austin.
Appreciate y'all coming on. Gwyneth Cheese. Okay, up next.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Up next, more environmental awareness with 350 Juno and Theater Alaska as they collaborate again for their annual Climate Fair for a Cool Planet on July 27th. We'll have a preview next here on Juno Afternoon.
Losing old friends. I'm 25.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO, 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was Bubblegum by Quinn Christofferson, who will be here next week as part of 350 Juno and Theater Alaska, who are presenting Climate Fair for a Cool Planet. It's a free, family-friendly event at Overstreet Park featuring information about actions we can take to mitigate climate change, plus live music and theater performances that are sort of themed around that kind of thing. And joining me now to share more about it and what we can expect are some fantastic folks. And I want you to all introduce yourselves, please, because I think you're all from the, I think I know all the different organizations that are here, but I just want to make sure. So, hi.
Hi, I'm Elaine Schroeder, and I'm co-chair of 350 Juno Climate Action for Alaska.
Absolutely.
Hi, and I'm Mike Tobin, board member of 350 Juno.
Board member, okay.
And I'm Christina Apathy, and I'm here from Theater Alaska.
Yes,
and we're
okay.
All co-producers of this.
Co-producers,
event.
Yeah. And it's been going on for, is this the fourth year?
Third.
No. Third year. Okay, third year. We didn't do.
Wait,
year.
No, Mike fourth. Said fourth.
Fourth Mike, year. That's what I
oh
thought.
Oh my gosh.
It's the fourth year.
I thought it was four, yeah, because I remember doing one small little 5 minute
thing. Yeah, a couple years ago.
I think it was in the first one.
Oh my gosh.
Which was kind of fun. And it's always been at Overstreet Park?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's just ask the basic question. What is Climate Fair for a Cool Planet? They're all looking.
Well,
who takes
what?
This one?
Okay, I'll just
Elaine, you go,
and then you
sounds
guys
good.
Yeah, Elaine,
complete.
Go.
Well, what we want to do is convey the message of the climate crisis. Whoa, that sounds dire, right? Who
yeah.
wants to listen to that? The word crisis. Well, one of the wonderful ways to do that is through the arts, and we have successfully done that for 3 years with wonderful Theater Alaska, and we will have, for example. We will have music that will relate to the climate crisis. We will have plays specifically by Mike Tobin, a local Juno playwright.
Who happens to be right
Who
there.
Happens to be sitting right next to me and who you may have met years ago before he retired as a physician at the ER at Bartlett Hospital. And we really feel that it's so important that people feel positive about doing work that's so important and is pretty scary So anyways, I'll start with that.
Yeah. And just to remind everyone, this is next Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday, July 27th. It's from 1:30 to 5 p.m. It will be at Overstreet Park, otherwise known as the Whale Park. And you can find out all this cool information. You can go to theateralaska.org, theater with an E-R. Or, of course, you can also hit up 350juno.org as well for more information. So, Mike, how did you get inspired to write? Did you write the play specifically for this event?
Yes.
Okay. And so what did you take inspiration from this time?
Well, one of the plays is called It's a Cliche Out There. And that came from a game my daughter and I play a lot about making fun of, trendy words in the business or political or theatrical or artistic worlds. And so I just thought that I could string a bunch of those together and talk about greenwashing, which is, the way that the oil interests kind of try to fog the reality that we're facing and the direct connection between increasing emissions and of CO2 and climate, which is going bonkers right now.
I see. Okay. So you took that sort of all those phrases and kind of put them into a fun play. Now, how many plays do you have in this one?
I wrote two of them.
Two of them.
But there's two more.
Okay. And I'll ask Christine about those in just a second. Okay. What's your second one?
It's a play, features a, it's called Dreaming the Future. The first one's kind of dissing the fossil fuel industry. The second one is about what we build in its place, the renewable, regenerative economy.
I see. Okay.
And it features a girls' basketball team.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That'll be fun. And it's also great to have the local artists involved and everything, Christina. And so I know that this has been a long-standing collaboration since it started 3 or 4 years ago. And Theater Alaska continues to make it part of their Alaska Theater Festival. It's always sort of one of the last events in the theater festival. And so what's happening with Theater Alaska in terms of this involvement? Do we have a lot of the actors and directors and things like that? And what are these other plays?
Yeah, we're a little bit more music focused this year. In the past, we've done sort of a string of plays and we've had some featured speakers. And this year, our lineup is just musician after musician.
I love that.
And we've got, as Mike said, we've got a couple more plays that we're doing too. So we're starting out with Nancy Barnes and her dance group. And I might pronounce this incorrectly, the Yiskuo Dancers. And then we've got a play called The Last Bee is Flying Over the Sky by a playwright, Pato Yan, from Hong Kong originally. Mm. And then I think we've just added the Hui Hula O Manoa group, the hula group, the Juno hula dancers.
Cool.
Yeah, and then we've got another play, another sort of audience participation kind of play called Us in the Past. We're going to ask for some audience people who are good at reading text and performing off the fly,
nice.
On the fly. And then we've got Colette Costa. We've got Lisa Denny on ukulele. We've got Stacy and Ziggy Unziker also doing kind of duet on guitar and singing. And then we've got, what don't we have,
you,
right?
Well, I saw also that you have Diamond Dollar Entertainment.
Yeah, Diamond Dollar.
They won the Juno's Got Talent competition earlier this year.
Yeah. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, totally cool. And then we've got Air Jazz also performing. And then finally, Quinn Christofferson is our headliner.
Yes, Quinn Christofferson, who folks might know, won the Tiny Desk in 2019 that NPR does as well. Anchorage musician and wonderful, wonderful performer, has been to Juno a couple of times. So glad to see Quinn coming back to partake in this. And so it's just awesome. So, Elaine, what can people do? Let's say people can't make it to the festival and they want to get more information. What's the best way to do that?
Well, let's make it personal and give 350 Juno, shoot us an email at 350Juno at gmail.com or go to our website, give us a call. And we would love to meet with you, share with you anything about what you personally can, what you can do. Ashley, what we feel and is that we need to work in collaboration with other people.
Yeah.
So we're not emphasizing individual acts, but rather joined together with groups that are working on the climate crisis.
I see. Okay, that's great. And that's the best. I mean, your website is full of information.
And also what we're doing is we're working, 350 Juno is working collaboratively with climate groups across the state to stop the building of a new LNG pipeline, as well as the carbon bomb Willow project. And you may have seen us in front of Wells Fargo in the past, because we are working also with a national group called Stop the Money Pipeline. It appears that if you don't fund fossil fuel companies, they stop producing oil. And just like the world knows through the United Nations and the International Energy Fund, you cannot have any more new fossil fuel projects happening at all if you want to have a livable planet.
Well, I appreciate you coming in today. This is awesome. It's the Climate Fair for a Cool Planet. It's happening next Saturday, July 27th from 1:30 to 5 p.m. at the Whale or the Overstreet Park.
Yeah, one more thing. Yeah, we're also going to have Darius Menino and Roblin Davis are making another puppet. We had a huge puppet in the past that was carried by four people. And it's just like this miraculous kind of piece of moving art.
That's
so
cool.
So they're doing another installation this year.
A new puppet and a new plays by Mike Tobin. So appreciate y'all coming in. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here. Gwyneth Cheesh. Yes.
And
we're almost out of time.
Okay. Don't forget the free ice cream. come along for free ice cream.
Free ice cream. They got to go for the free ice cream for sure.
Thank
All right.
You.
Gwyneth Cheesh for coming in.
Gwyneth Cheesh.
Thank you.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a preview of a new album featuring Killa Priest and a talented group of Alaskan musical artists. Plus, a look at some upcoming pageants happening in August with Miss Gigi Monroe. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juno evening.